The light, the color, the action, they have stopped. Eating and drinking should stop today. But we have eaten so much during Christmas, Mardi Gras, and yesterday I'm told was Fat Tuesday. You ate all you could eat. Today you fast all you can fast. But Valentine's Day is coming. You gotta eat. And today is Chinese New Year. They gotta eat. We are caught in the middle. The kingdom of God, thankfully, is not eating and drinking, but it is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. So we ponder not as we ought, but as we are able in the presence of the Lord. The world around us has its own way of celebrating life. There are sanguine moods, sad moods, even fasting. For Hindus, they fast 40 days and almost 40 nights before they take this pilgrimage to holy mountain so that they are prepared to see their God the way they see him or her or it. The Muslims, on the other hand, just are out of their Ramadan season, which involves 40 days of fasting. Remember, 40 days of fasting, they can feast all they want during the night hours. But yet, that leads to another pilgrimage. Our Lord fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And he was hungry before he would be tempted by Satan. 40 days, numbers. Fasting, Hindus, Christians, Muslims, and even Jews, they don't count in the presence of God. It is a broken and a contrite heart that our Lord, the one who receives the sinners and forgives them, desires the most. The colors have gone. The sound has faded. The colors change from green to white, now to purple. The lights are relatively dim, but one thing remains, the cross. The cross, therefore, is the center. Christmas, Advent, Epiphany, Easter, Trinitarian season, the cross for the church is the center of its existence and therefore the center of the Christian's life. Martin Luther said, as you know, a Christian's life, our Lord and Master said, is a life of repentance. Shall we say a lifetime of repentance? The word comes to us as the law and the promise, contriting our hearts and calling us to repentance and giving us the assurance of the forgiveness of sins, not only to live here and eat the food that is available here for us. The Lord sustains us with all that we need, but also to sustain us into everlasting life. Peter wrote, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Everything we need for life and godliness, he provides for our bodily needs as much as he cares for our spiritual needs. Godliness has a form and an appearance in the life of the spiritual people of the world. Many people do not even care for God, but those who care for him or her do have some kind of a godliness. Shall we call this piety? But for Christians, godliness does make a difference. We are what we are because what the Lord has done for us. We can celebrate and feast because the Lord has fasted. He has completed what we could not do. But we still take some time out of our busy lives and our eating and drinking and ponder the way he has dealt with us in spite of our sins. Peter writes, this is good that we do a few things. Practice godliness, brotherly kindness, love, self-control, perseverance, and godliness. Peter says these are good things to do, but he also says these do not take us any closer to God. he gives us a reason to do all this because the Lord has redeemed us from the powers of darkness. Therefore, make every effort to do good. That's what makes us Christians different from others. And he knows, having lived a troubled life, having fallen from faith, having been tempted to walk away from the Lord and even to betray him, he knows life is hard. But he would also say that these things to aspire to are the best thing for us to do. And he says, I will therefore remind you of these things, even though you know them. Who does not know that a Christian life is a life of virtues? But is it? Does one need to be a Christian? Just look at the Buddha. What did he say? Right thought, right conduct, right aspiration, right mind. But what the Buddha missed was right relationship with the true God. So the call comes to us, Christians, though being bought and redeemed and brought to the presence of the Lord, to set ourselves right before God, not because we can do this on our own, because the Lord himself has done it for all. We do this because we are brought to him through the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross continues to be at the center, stricken, smitten, afflicted, died, but rose again. Afflicted and died, but rose again. And the Savior never leaves us. Christmas, Easter, Trinitarian season, in our struggles, in our failures, when we are pressed down by our own burdens of life and sin and pressures from the devil, the Lord never leaves us. The kingdom of God, therefore, is not food and drink, but it is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. It is that Spirit that enables us to know that we are sinners. It is that same Spirit who reminds us that in spite of our sin, the redeemed are indeed the children of God. It is that Spirit who continues to teach us that the Lord never leaves us or forsakes us. What a privilege it is to be called by the Spirit, sanctified, brought together to focus on the cross, not of many merit of our own, but purely account of his mercy, purely on account of what he has done for us while we were yet sinners. Lent, 40 days of fasting if you can, 40 days of conscious living under the cross if you can. Even if you didn't, the cross reminds us that we are his, and he gives us the power to go on, leading a life of witness. Yes, bringing out into the world a word of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.